Amen and amen. Aren't you glad to be in church? Amen. Hallelujah. We're blessed to have a church where we can come and hear the word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the most important part of church. You know, if you have your Bible, you can go to James chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 8. But you know, it's important to major on the right things. And, you know, you look in the Bible, and they had great moves of God with the preaching and teaching of the word. It wasn't about the children's programs, and I'll thank God for those things. It wasn't about the worship team. You don't even hear any of that mentioned in the New Testament. You don't. But what you do hear mentioned over and over is the preaching and teaching of the word. Amen? Amen. And that ought to be valued. You know, and in this country, unfortunately, there's many what you call seeker-sensitive churches where, you know, we got done watching a video, they were talking about people being drawn to a church for the music. And it's not the music that saved you, but the Word of God saved you and the move of the Holy Ghost. Now, thank God for music, and I believe it can draw us into one accord and get our minds and focus on God, and it blesses Him, absolutely. But we're blessed to be taught the Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're thankful for the Word. What am I saying? I'm lifting up the Word. The Bible says, pray that the Word would be glorified and have free course in your midst, in your church, right? And so that's what we pray. We believe that. And so we boast on the Word. We lift up the Word. Let's pray as we get into the Word. Father, we're so grateful and so thankful for your Word. We just love you so much, and we honor you and bless you and praise you tonight. Thank you for your great mercy. Thank you for your love. Help us tonight. Father, I'm fully aware that you are the vine. I'm just a branch, and I know what a branch is nothing if it's not connected to the vine. And so, Father, we look to you for help tonight. Thank you, Lord, that I will speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But there will be a demonstration of the Spirit and power, and what you want said will be said. What you want done will be done. We'll follow your ways and your plan. So, Father, we thank you. Bullseyes are hit, and we're getting help here tonight. We walk out of here changed and better. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. This is feeding time. Amen. This is feeding time. Praise God. We're getting fed. Well, James chapter 4 in verse 8, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Do you see that? Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Praise God. I was meditating in the word and just meditating on some things. And this is what I heard. Now, I don't know if I've ever even over a whole year in the beginning of, you know, when you're getting ready to embark on a new year, really had a theme or anything that I can remember. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I don't remember. And I'm not even so sure that this is exactly what it is. But this is what I heard in my spirit for 2017. A year to draw near. That's what I heard in my heart. You know, as I was just meditating, pacing my floor in my office, a year to draw near. And the Bible says here that if we'll draw near unto God, he'll draw near unto us. Amen? Amen. So he's waiting for us to make the first move. Amen? Amen. He's waiting for us to put the moves on him. Amen. Then he'll put the moves on us. I'll tell you what, when God puts the moves on you, oh boy, yep, things change. Amen? Amen. His power, his glory, his prosperity, his health, his victory, his wisdom. And so he says, draw near unto me, and I'll draw near unto you. And so it benefits us to draw near to God. And when I heard that, draw near unto, near a year to draw near, I know that there is application of what that will do for our lives. But I want to look at it from a different perspective and a different angle here tonight. Go with me real quick to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 9. Matthew 7 and verse 9. There's no doubt the closer we get to him, you know, Moses drew near unto God and came out changed. Yeah. You know, people that walk closely with God in the Bible, they were different. They did things other people didn't do. And it's the same way here on earth. I can see people that will go through the same things in life and just be wore out, and other people just be thriving, and it's just the difference lies in what they know and don't know and what their walk with God is like. It's just the truth. their closeness with him and the revelation of him. But Matthew chapter 7, it says in verse 9, "What man is there of you, if his son asks for bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent?" So he's saying, what parent among you is going to give your child a bad thing? And the answer, obvious answer, is no one. He said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" And so the reason I bring this out is the Bible, Jesus uses a natural example to illustrate the Father. And so we can say that we can then look at natural examples to illustrate our Father. And one thing that I know since becoming a parent 6 years ago, almost 7 years ago, is that a good parent enjoys spending quality time with their children. A good parent does, right? Now, I unfortunately ran an after-school program where I was around what you would call many not good parents who their children just annoyed them. They wanted nothing to do. It was heartbreaking, you know. But a good parent, they want to be around their children. They want to fellowship with their children. They want to spend time with them. And God's no different. Amen. God longs for our fellowship. God longs for our communion. God longs for a relationship with us. And I want to point some of these things out tonight. A year to draw near. I want to point some of these things out tonight because I believe that if we get a revelation of the love that our Father has towards us, it'll soften us to understand that, wow, we have to give something back to Him. Not to make sure He likes us or that He's going to bless us, but because it's kind of like this, and I'm not liking God to a 2-year-old black Labrador Retriever, but my 2-year-old black Labrador Retriever, Willow, is absolutely obsessed with me, and it doesn't matter who she's with in the house. If I come down the stairs, she comes to me, I come in the room, the tail starts thumping, she just can't get enough of me, you know, and sometimes that really can annoy me, but, you know, because of that dog's love for me, it causes me at times to stop what I'm doing and make sure to give attention. It's almost like the way that she loves, it requires me to do something back for her because I have a compassion or understanding of that love. And when we understand God's, how much more for God than a dog, right? When we understand God's longing and what He did to bring us close to Him, it'll cause us to understand God is desiring. You're going to see in the Word that God is craving our fellowship. God is craving us to be in His presence. And so often, life happens. We get so busy and we can go so long without giving any quality time to the Father. And again, it's not from a standpoint of, let's get God to love us. Let's get God to be pleased. Listen, God's as pleased with you and loves you. Maybe He's not as pleased with you, but He loves you as much as He's ever going to love you. He already proved that by what He did for you through Jesus. Amen? Amen. So go with me to Ephesians 2 and verse 13. Ephesians 2 and verse 13. God longs for us to be close to Him, to have fellowship with Him. He's a good dad. Praise God. I love spending time with my kids. God wants to spend time with His kids. Amen? Amen. It says in Ephesians 2 and verse 13, what tonight really is, it's an opportunity to set us up for chance in 2013 to give back to Him. Shower Him with love. Shower Him with adoration. Shower Him with gratefulness and gratitude. Praise God. And you'll see in the Word, after you see some things, I believe it'll open your eyes to, wow, yeah, that's we need to change some things. But it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near to Him by what? The blood of Christ. God says, I want you close to me so bad. I want you to be able to fellowship. You know, the Bible says, having boldness to enter into the holiest of holies in Hebrews 10 and verse 19 by the blood of Jesus. Well, what's enter into what? Into His presence. Enter in because before to get to the presence of God, God was in a box inside the temple, and the priest could only go in there one time a year. And the people didn't have access to the presence of God. But now by the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, we were one time afar off. Now we've been made near by the blood. So it took the blood of Jesus, a high, steep price, for those divides to be shattered, a bridge to be made, right? We were on one side of the mountain. God was on the other side. There was a great divide we couldn't get to, but a bridge was laid, and that bridge was Jesus and the blood of Jesus. But what was the purpose? So we could walk across that bridge and be in the presence of the Father. God is saying, I want you close to me so bad. I want you in my presence so much. It was worth the blood of my Son. Praise God. Yet we go about just ignorantly and busy and just distracted in life and never give God fellowship, yet He gave everything to us to be with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Praise God. A year to draw near. Now, I don't know if that's just, I'm going to seek Him more on that and see if that's the theme He wants to put that out, because there is no doubt it'll bless people. If people would get closer with God, it would change their lives. Maybe that's the theme for the church, but I know for me, I want to get closer to Him. I want to know Him more. Amen. You know, Paul said this. He said, all the things in the earth that he obtained, he said, they're like dung. He said, in comparison to knowing Him.
Right.
Yeah. He said, everything is worthless compared to knowing Jesus, to knowing God, to getting closer to God. Genesis 1 verse 26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, and the image of God created He him, male and female, in the image of Him. You know what God looks like, ladies and gentlemen? Look in the mirror. That's what God looks like. In His image, praise God. And God blessed them, verse 28, and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the earth, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God made us in His image and gave us dominion. God made something exactly like Him, so He could fellowship with something like Him. Before, there was never anything that really could relate to Him. And He said, no, I'm going to make something that's like me. You know, I can relate to this. When I was growing up, you know, I was always blessed with athletic ability, you know, mechanics and stuff like that, mechanical things and different stuff like that. Not so much, but athletic ability I was. And growing up, you know, a lot of the kids that I would play with, they weren't. And I'd go to throw the ball with them, they couldn't even catch it. I'd go to throw a football, they couldn't even catch it, you know. And that was frustrating, because I wanted someone to be able to play with that could do the things that I could do. And I always would ask the Lord, Father, I would just kind of say to God, send me a brother that's just like me. I want someone just like me. Why? So I could fellowship, because there was such lower fellowship with these other friends for what I like to do. Throw a ball, hit them. You know, they couldn't play back with me. That's boring for a little boy, you know. Lord, I'd be like, God, I want a brother, make him just like me. Well, then I met Pastor Tim when we were in fourth grade, and it was crazy. I remember the first time playing catch with him, he could catch the ball, throw it back, throw a football, and I thought, my God, I found one. Now, for those of you that know Pastor Tim, he's way taller than me now, but we started the same. In fourth grade, we were eye to eye, man. I'm telling you, we were eye to eye. But so I know what that's like. God says, I want something that I can fellowship with. He made people to fellowship with Him. Praise God. He would fellowship with Adam and Eve. God's heart was always that way. Now go with me to Revelation 2 and verse 1. And Pastor Tim was good, but, you know, He's still a level below me. I mean, we can't let him get his head too big here. Praise God. Of course, he would say the same thing. But Revelation chapter 2. But no, I understand what that's like. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Now notice this. This is the letters to different churches that can be applied to our lives now, but they were literal churches back then. And they were letters. And in these letters, you would see God write things that would, he would commend them in different things, but also he would correct them and chasten them in different things. But look at this. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write this. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He said, I know your works. He says, you labor and in your patience, and how you can't bear them that are evil. He's given them good praises. He's saying, this is great. You're doing wonderful. He says, you have tried them which say they are apostles or not, and you have found them to be liars. He's saying, you're not accepting the wrong thing. He said, you and have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. I'll tell you what, that's good things to be for God to commend you on. He says, nevertheless, he says, I have someone or I have something against you. Now, I don't know about you, but when God is displeased or God is not, my whole purpose in life is to please him. That's all I want to do. No agenda, no different agendas, no manipulation. Just my heart is to please God. I love him so much. I want to be pleasing to him. And if there's something in the word that he says would displease him, I want to know, so I don't do that. Amen? Not out of a fear or a religious, you know, trying to make sure all my ducks are in a row, but just out of pure love that I don't want to disappoint my dad. Praise God. I don't want to disappoint my dad. And it says this, it says, nevertheless, I have something against you because you left your first love. Now, here was a church that was doing works, and they were living morally and doing the right things. He says, but there's something I have against you. You left your first love. Verse 5 says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the first works. Or else I will come unto you quickly, remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. So the Lord says, yeah, you're off, you're doing everything, you're doing and doing and doing, and you're laboring and you have patience, but you left your first love. Well, the first works, what were the first works that he's talking about? Well, think about it. I don't know if it was this way for you, but for me, when I first got born again, and I realized, my God, he loved me so much, he saved me, and my past is forgiven, and I can have heaven, all I wanted to do was talk to him. All I wanted to do was tell him I love him. All I wanted to do was be in his word. All I wanted to do was fellowship with him. You know, it wasn't about the running around and the ministry and all this. It was just about me and God and telling him how thankful I was and loving on him. It's kind of like in a relationship, right? In the first works, right? People at first, you know, they're all gung-ho. They're all excited. They do things for one another. They say things. They go places, do things. And then sometimes those things can fade off. And Lord says, I don't want that to fade off with my relationship with you. He says, I want you to do the first works. It was just about you and me, where you just loved me, where you told me, right? And let's face it, those things have faded, especially when you're busy in life and you're doing the ministry. See, the doing does not take the place of the fellowship. You can't exchange the doing and coming and serving and things like that. You can't replace that with fellowship time. Well, I go to church twice a week. Well, that doesn't replace your fellowship time with him. Yes, this is fellowship time with him, but I'm talking about intimate fellowship, one-on-one time with God. Amen? Yeah, amen? We'll look at some of those things tonight. So he says, I want you to do the first works. I want to show you tonight the Father's heart. Go to John 4 and verse 23. I believe when you see the Father's heart, it'll cause you to respond. That dog, she just lays there and thumps her tail, and it just causes me to respond. That love that she has, I mean, just walk into a room, and it's like that thing, that motor gets going, and man, oh man. John 4 and verse 23, now notice this. This is the Father's heart. It says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. But notice this, the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Bible says that God is seeking someone to worship him. Praise God. That word seeking in the Greek, if you look that up, is another word, a word you could interchange for that is the word craves. The Father is craving somebody to worship him. He is craving it. Now, here's, I can't, you know, I have certain, I don't know if a pregnant woman's craving for food is the same cravings that I get, but I know the cravings that I get are pretty strong. You know, I'll see Taco Bell on TV, and I can't get it out of my head until I get there and get it down my throat and in my tummy, right? But I know that when she was pregnant, there were, which one was it that you wanted Chinese food all the time? Caleb. I mean, we ate so much Chinese food, I was going to become a soldier in General Tso's army. I'm telling you. He signed me up, man. I mean, it was all the time. And she craved it. It's like she wasn't going to do without it. Right? That's what she wanted. Was that? Well, the Bible says God is craving. God is seeking. He's not just casual. He's seeking who will worship me. Who will fellowship with me? Who will be in my presence? See, God needs that. God desires that. God craves that. God craves it. And now you might think, well, man, what in the world is wrong with this arrogant God who needs people to worship, who needs people to crave him, who needs people to spend time with him? If you think of it in terms of a natural parent, it'll help you. Let me give you an example. Abby was crying one night, and I went into her room. I don't know what was wrong with her, and I consoled her and wiped away her tears and got her hair out of her eyes and put her back down in the bed and covered her up and laid with her. And she was all comfortable, and I thought it was just the sweetest moment in the world. There I was in the middle of the night, and I got her all calmed down, and she looked at me and she said, "Can you go now?" She wanted me out of there. I thought, oh, man, that hurt. Oh, that hurt. Now, again, there's nothing... No malice there. She just was tired and wanted, because when dad goes in there, dad can't stop kissing her. Dad can't stop, you know, petting her head and stuff like that. She said, "Can you go now?" And it just, oh, you don't want me in your presence? What do you mean you don't want me? I want to be in your presence, right? And so, again, no malice or anything. But then there's times that she'll, out of nowhere, crawl up into my lap. Just, I'll be laying on the couch and she'll come and lay with me or come and sit with me. Didn't ask her. Didn't, you know, I usually have to beg for that kid's affection. I'll tell you that, Abby, I'm going to spank her when I get home. Just for the heck of it. Say, you know what, you just need this right now because you didn't. But anyways, you know, she, like I always say this, I go away on trips and Caleb will cry and cry and not want daddy to go and just grab me. Abby could give a rip. Bye, Dad. See you later. Boom. She's off playing and running around, you know. And so when she comes into my lap or sits with me, it is so special. It is so wonderful when your child seeks you out and wants to spend time with you, wants to talk with you, and you didn't have to go chasing them down. And the father saying, "I crave that." Not because he's some arrogant God who needs his ego stroked. He's perfect and loving. He just is that loving of a father that he desires his children. Remember, he loved you so much. He showed you how important you were to him by what he did for you through Jesus. So you say, I want that creation of my children who I love so much, I want them to spend some time with me. Not because I need you to tell me how great I am and how wonderful. God already knows how good he is. He already knows how wonderful he is. He already knows how powerful he is. But he wants to hear it from you. Yeah, now, let me tell you, this will help you. So, number one, he seeks it. Number two, it blesses him. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Again, because if you look at it the wrong way, you say, man, my God, the Bible says the Lord likes to hear us praise him. What is wrong with that egotistical maniac? Well, you're looking at it wrong. In Psalm 34 and verse 1, David said this. He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times." How? "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." So the Bible says when praise is continually in our mouth, what is praise? Praise is adoration, honor, love towards the Father, right? Telling the Lord, "You are good." That's praise. "You are wonderful. I love you. You're mighty. There's none like you. You're great." That's praise, and the Bible says that blesses him. Amen. That ought to make you want to do it more.
That's right.
The Father is blessed. Well, let's look at it from a natural standpoint. When it's one thing when the child wants to spend time with you, it's another thing when they come up to you and they tell you, "Dad, I love you so much. Dad, you're the best dad in the whole world. Dad, I'm so glad that, you know, Caleb has said this before to me. He said, Dad, I'm so glad that you're my dad and nobody else is my dad. Do you know what that does? It's not, yeah, that might stroke the ego and make you feel, but how that makes you feel. Imagine when we go into the Father's presence. Father, I just love you so much. What we're doing is we're like that little kid climbing up in mom or dad's lap and telling them, just love you so much. That feels good. Yeah. It's not because God's egotistical. It's because he craves our fellowship. And I heard this one time. The lowest form of praise is assumption. I heard a minister say that the lowest form of praise is assumption. What people say, and you know, you can relate this to a service. And you know, when we gather, we ought to praise God as one accord and worship our Father and not be ashamed of that. Because if we're just thinking about him, then we're not worried about our neighbor. We're not worried about ourselves. We're just worried about him. But, a lot of times people, they don't get intimate with the Father and tell him and worship him and praise him because they'll say, well, he knows my heart. He knows my mind. Well, what if your children never told you how much they love you? Well, mom and dad, they know. Or what if it's that way for spouses? Well, they know. Well, that wouldn't go very far. But with the Father, why do we lessen him? We ought to raise him up. Why do we lessen him? And well, God can see my mind and God can see my heart. That's a lowest of form of praise to assume God knows how you feel. He does know how you feel, but and even though I know how my kids feel about me, I love hearing it.
Yeah.
Amen. It does something to me. Praise God. And see, when you understand God's capacity to love is greater than anything on the earth. It's kind of like that dog. I know that dog has such great love for me that it is only right to give that back to that dog. And God has such a capacity to love you and care for you. It's only right that we give it back. He's desiring it. Why would we shun that? It blesses him. Go to Psalm 22 and verse 3. Psalm 22 and verse 3. He's so wonderful, isn't he? Hallelujah. We're going to practice what we preach tonight.
Amen.
At the end of the service. Just love him. Psalm 22 and verse 3, it says, but you are holy, O thou that inhabits. That means to dwell. That means to take up residence. The praises of Israel, or one translation says, you inhabit the praises of your people. Well, we see in the Bible that God moves when people praise him. But this is what I want you to see, is that when somebody makes their home somewhere, it's because they're comfortable there.
Yeah.
Your praises make God comfortable. And shouldn't you be interested in the Father's comfort?
Amen.
You see, we get so self-conscious during worship. We get so in our heads during worship, you know. When worship and praise is all about him, has nothing to do with us. It's all about showering the Father and letting him know how good he is and how wonderful. And the Bible says it's so wonderful to him that he says, I love that so much, I'm going to make my home there.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? Don't they say home is where the heart is? Like, I don't know about you, but there's no place on the earth I'm more naturally comfortable than my own house. I love coming home. I hate leaving my home. I love just being there. I'm so comfortable there. And God says, listen, when you praise, it makes me so comfortable, I just want to take up residence there. Hallelujah. If you love the Father, that ought to be something that interests you.
Amen.
That strikes a chord with you. And so number one, he's seeking it. He craves it. Number two, it blesses him. Number three, he's comfortable in our praises. And then number four is found in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. A year to draw near. It says, by him let us, therefore let us offer, notice this, the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to our name. All that looks like is, Father, I thank you. I love you. You're so good. Thank you for everything. Thank you for what you've done. You're a good Father. The Bible says to do that. Number four, it's a worthy sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is something that might be an inconvenience to you, that might be, something that causes you to go above and beyond, something that might put you out, something that might interrupt your schedule and what you want to do. But the Bible says it's a worthy sacrifice, that we ought to offer the sacrifice of praise. That's the point of that is, it's not based on how we feel, it's based on how we want to make Him feel and being interested in making Him feel good. Praise God. Continually giving thanks to our to His name. But the sacrifice to do that, to make time in our... Now, we're going to get at the end here, we're going to maybe get into your life a little bit and maybe get the magnifying glass out and look at our lives. But go with me to Psalm 63 and verse 1. Psalm 63 and verse 1. A year to draw near. I don't know about you, but I am endeavoring in 2017 to draw nearer unto Him than I ever have before. And I purposely tonight left out all the benefits because I don't want us to draw near just because we're benefited. Even though there is that and that will motivate you, I want us to draw near because He loves us so much, we need to love Him back. Amen. Amen. We love Him so much, we want to love... You know, it's sad when that dog waits for me to come downstairs and she's thumping her tail and I just walk right by her. That's sad for that dog. But, you know, grabbing her and just starting to love her. Oh, she just starts going berserk. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 63 and verse 1. Is that where I said to go? Now, this is David. David had the right heart. Remember the Bible said about David that he was a man after God's own heart? That David, God said, David's heart beats like mine. Oh, man, I want God to say that about me. Amen. Look at what he said. He said, oh, God, You are my God. Now notice this, early will I seek You, not money, not health, not favor, not a job, not stuff, I'm seeking You. He said, my soul thirsts for You, Father, I want You. He said, my flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. He said, that's how much I'm craving and desiring, that's the right heart. Not because there's a benefit to worship. You know, let me just ask you this, and this is where we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. When's the last time, or you could say it this way, how often have you just got down on your face and just worshiped Him for a time period where you didn't even worry about the time, where you didn't ask Him for anything, where you weren't there because pastor had taught you that praise brings power, but you were simply in the Father's presence just because He needs to hear, I love You. Just because He craves to hear, I love You. It's wonderful when my children need stuff and they come to me, and of course, I want to bless them and I want to know what they need, but it's great when they have no agendas. When they have nothing in their back pocket or up their sleeve and they just come to tell me, Dad, I love you, or just out of nowhere, just give me a hug. Praise God. I love that. When is the last time? And this isn't to condemn you, but truthfully, when is the last time that you just gave God your time, that you just gave God your attention, that you just gave God your love and you didn't just go through the motions, but you poured out your heart just to let Him know you loved Him. Hallelujah. David said, I seek You. You know, the Bible talks about praying in tongues. It says when you pray in tongues, you speak directly unto God. It's a language. When is the last time you prayed in tongues? Not because you were trying to pray out a mystery or you're trying to make power available, but you just took the word as what it is. And the Bible says when you pray in tongues, you communicate with God, that you just prayed in tongues, knowing on a faith basis by what the word says, that your spirit is in communication with the Father, and you just delighted praying in tongues, just to fellowship with Him. Amen. Amen. We get so busy with the doing of the ministry, and we get so, and we ought to release our faith. We ought to be, faith is repetitive. Faith is a faithfulness thing of doing it over and over. And we get in the habit of doing that. We get in the habit of going through our confessions list. But my goodness, when can we just shut everything down and just be in His presence just because we love Him? And just tell Him and talk to Him and worship Him a year to draw near. Praise God. He is our Heavenly Father. He's done so much for us. And I just, the thing that gets me is knowing His capacity to love and that he said in the word, I'm craving this. And how, you know, it doesn't go well when the pregnant woman that craves something doesn't get what she wants. You know, not just from a standpoint of maybe being, you know, grouchy or a little short with you. It just, it can make them emotional. I mean, you can cry when you don't get your chicken and rice. I mean, you just cry about that stuff. I mean, right? And when God, I just think about God every day. He's dwelling on the inside. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And yet Christians, his own children, go day after day walking by him. And like the Labrador's just wagging a tail, just pet me. And again, I'm not relating God to a dog. You understand what I'm saying? I'm using that as an example. Just pet me. And then you walk by and you notice the dog just lays down sad. How many times God's just, I just want you to spend some time with me. I just want you to spend some time with me. And day after day it goes by and God is just craving that. Amen? So we're going to be doers of the word tonight. We're going to take a little time. And we're not going to seek him for any miraculous move. We're not going to seek him for any money. But you know what's interesting, though, and I will say this, I shouldn't even say this to you, to muddy the waters, but it's interesting when you come with him from a pure heart, how he happens to bless you a lot of times in that way. When you're there praying for other people, how God will bless you. When you're there just seeking him, how he just blesses you just because. Amen? You know, when my children climb up in my lap and just tell me they love me for no reason, you know what that makes me want to do? Bless them. It just makes me want to be good to him, right? And God's always good. He always wants to do good to us. So we're going to just, I'm going to put on some music just to get the atmosphere going. And we're just going to worship God. We're just going to praise him. What are we going to do? We're going to tell him we love him. We're going to be grateful and thankful for what he's done. We bless you, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. We love you so much. We love you so much. We bless you, Father. We glorify you, Father. We magnify you, Lord. Just worship him.
You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight. Come away with me, my love. You're beautiful. Over you is my delight. Come away with me, my love. Under my mercy, come and wait till we are standing face to face. I see no stain on you, my child. You're beautiful to me. So beautiful to me. I sing over you my song of peace. Cast all your cares down at my feet. Come and find. Take you to my quiet waters. I'll restore your soul.
Restore your soul.
Come rest in me and be made whole. Come away with me, my love. You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over you is my delight. Come away with me, my love. Under my mercy, come and wait till we are standing face to face. I see no stain on you, my child. You're beautiful to me. So beautiful to me. I sing over you my song of peace. Cast all your cares down at my
just love you so much. We just love you so much. We're just in love with you, in awe of you. You're so good to us. We all in here tonight, I believe, have had things pointed out to us, and we'll make adjustments, Father. Going forward from this place will be different. We'll be different. Our relationship with you will be different, Father. We'll keep in the forefront of our mind how loving you are and how much you need this from us, that this makes you feel good, that it blesses you, that it honors you, that it helps you, Father. That's what we want, Lord. You're so loving and so merciful. And so, Father, just thank you so much, and bless you tonight and honor you tonight. So thankful. So thankful. Just love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, Father, we glorify you and magnify you. We just bless you tonight. We love you. You know, you ought to cultivate a relationship with him and talk to him. You say, well, what do I say? My God, we have so much to be thankful for, right? Just the country we live in, the bodies we have, the food, the water, the shelter, the clothing, the jobs, the transportation, the house, our children, our health, our eyesight, our hearing, our ability to talk, our ability to taste, our ability to touch and to feel, to walk. So many things that there's no reason we should ever be quiet. There's so much to pour out gratitude for. Our church, our spiritual family, praise God. Oh, thank you so much, Father. There's just so much. We could be here till tomorrow night at this time thanking you for all the good things in our lives, for all that you've done for us, for all that you are, Father, for his power, for his might, for his mercy, for his goodness. Oh, hallelujah. We bless you tonight, Father. We go forward in a new way. 2017, we adopt that, Father, as a year to draw near. And Father, I make up my mind tonight on December 28th, I believe it is, 2016, that I endeavor to draw nearer to you than ever before, to know you more, to worship you more, to bless you more, and honor you more. Father, we glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, praise God. We have a new direction, don't we? Amen. Our Father's not going to go without anymore. Well, sure appreciate you being here tonight. I believe your life was changed. Hallelujah. God will bless you. He loves you. We love you. Thank you for being here. And again, thank you so much for all the Christmas blessings. I hope you know, first of all, number one, we don't expect anything, and I mean that, but we're grateful for everything and excited for the harvest to come back to your life. Amen?
Amen.
You're dismissed. Glory to God.